Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
803 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
We welcome back El Pegamento.
Paulie Rosenberg.
The great glue. Paul Rosenberg.
What is this? When did that take place? I haven't heard that one yet. That's a new one. That was obviously Ricky and Emmanuel talking about Rosenberg being the glue.
I have the full cut if you want to hear that.
I don't.
That was just Best Saturday.
It's nothing against. I love Ricky. I love Emmanuel. It's more of my disdain and hatred towards you.
Oh, I understand that. That's why I was surprised. I was going to give you the full context.
I don't want the full context. What I want to know is the all-star introductions are going on right now, and the players are coming out, and they are signing the Declaration of Independence, it looks like.
Well, I think they have like the fountain pen, the feather on
with
top
the
of the pen,
on it. Yeah.
And I think they're signing the lineup card, but it's in a scroll, a Declaration of Independence like piece of paper.
They missed a golden opportunity. There's a candle there, but it's not lit. Now maybe it's windy. They're afraid of my, but I think the candle should be lit. But that's a cool deal. I mean,
looks like a great piece of papyrus.
I don't know what that means. What's a papyrus?
Piece of paper, an old piece of paper, papyrus.
No, it's not. That's what they call.
That's what the Egyptian was with the hieroglyphics, what they wrote on papyrus.
Yeah, but is that what they're writing on right now? I know, obviously, it's newer paper. No,
yes.
I understand that. But back in the day, our forefathers, they wrote on something that was called a papyrus.
Papyrus?
I didn't know that. Feels like you're making that up. I'm going to have to double check that. I'm going to have to ask AI what's going on there. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We are at the All-Star break, but the second half is right around the corner. The Yankees open up with the Dodgers, so you get a big weekend here in the tri-state area. You have Yankees-Dodgers in the Bronx. You have Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center, which we here at WFN are going to be a part of. Once again, we're very happy to be a part of it. We're going to be doing multiple shows at the Javits Center starting on Friday. Sean and Tiki, Craig and Big Mac. And then on Saturday, that'll be Friday, those shows. Saturday, McMonagle solo show. Lugauer, myself, solo show. So a little loogie in the light of day. I'll be on from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Javits Center at Fanatics Fest. And then Keith McPherson will be on after me, and he will take you, Keith will, up to Yankee Baseball, which is game two of that series, Yankees-Dodgers, which is, of course, now listen, you don't get Judge, I don't think you're getting Ohtani, but you're getting Yankees-Dodgers, which is always box office and must-see. And then on Sunday, our final show at Javits Center, final show at Fanatics Fest, will be Sean and Tiki. So they're double-dipping Friday and Sunday. You also have the World Cup final at MetLife. Spain has already punched their ticket to the final, and we'll find out their opponent tomorrow as Argentina, the defending champs with Lionel Messi, the greatest of all time, they are taking on England. The winner of that will meet Spain in the final. So either way, you're going to get a very competitive and very spicy final. Argentina would be the better final just because you're the defending champs. It's Messi. And then Spain, which was one of the odds-on favorites to win the championship. And then certainly knocking off France today, who they have owned over the last couple years in these international competitions. And once Spain gets a lead, it's pretty much a wrap. I think they've given up one goal all tournament. So they're going to be a very tough nut to crack here. And obviously France has a ton of firepower with Mbappe and others. But Spain's defense has just been unbelievable in this tournament. And they're going to be a very, very difficult out on Sunday, whether it is Argentina, who's had a little bit of that magic carpet ride this year, whether it was against Cape Verde or whether it was against Egypt or even in their quarterfinal matchup. Argentina took a little while to get going there before they were able to pull away from Switzerland. So Argentina, the defending champs, have been on that magic carpet ride. Does that continue against England? I certainly hope so for some financial reasons, but even just in general, I certainly hope so. A Spain-Argentina final would be a great final. We should just have that final. And then I don't really care who wins. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Although it would be cool to see Messi win his second World Cup. He's the greatest of all time, in my opinion, anyway, but you start to get to that point where even an Mbappe might not be able to pass him because if Messi, with all he's accomplished, if he wins two World Cups, he's really set the pace, and it's going to take a lot for anybody ultimately to pass him someday. But yes, we do have the second half of baseball coming up as well. Let's go out to Chester, New Jersey. Chris joins us on After Hours. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris. Thank Tommy.
Yeah, I could be Tommy, or you're Chris. I could be Chris, too, if you want. It's okay. And you could be Tommy. Well,
listen, thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
And, yeah, I mean, I love your show. I have an observation, a praise, and a question. I'm a huge Yankee fan. But my observation is that why do you guys keep verbally abusing Rosenberg? I mean, like you and Craig Cotton. I mean,
yeah, I'm going to get on. I'm going to have
a
conversation.
Rosenberg is a really nice guy.
I know. I'm going to have to get on. I'm going to have to have a discussion with Craig about that. And I'm going to have to ask him why he's getting on Rosenberg. I didn't even realize he was. Yeah, you're right. 100%. Paul is. But here's the only thing I would say, though, Chris. You just said he was a great guy. And I'm not going to argue against
that. He seems like a great guy.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. He's a horrible employee, though. That's the problem. So that's So that's really what we're trying to. And because I've been asking for. We're going to find out later if he did what he needed to do. But I'm going to read some text messages as the producer, sent to his talent, the host. I'm not suggesting he's not a great guy, but we need to get him to be better at the position. That's all. That's all we're looking for here because this is a premier show. You love it. And I need my premier producers. And I got him and I got Connor. And they're nowhere to be found for the last month. What other show in this radio station doesn't have their big-time producers day in and day out? I guess this one doesn't, but the other ones, they have their producers. So we're going to, now that I got Paulie back in the saddle here, we're going to have to get him to where he needs to be. That's all. So he appreciates you having his back, and I certainly have his back. Listen,
I'm
his friend. That's a cross to bear, but I am his friend, but I'm also his boss.
Rosie is the glue that holds WFAN together.
So in terms of the praise, I got to give you praise because you really helped us, helped me, and I'm a huge Knicks fan, navigate the playoffs.
Yeah, winning the championship.
Your positivity really helped me out.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for listening.
In terms of the Yankees, I'm a huge Yankee fan, a season ticket holder, and I trust your opinion because I know you're a Mets fan because you have unbiased opinions. I don't trust CNAC on this. In terms of the trade, what do you think? Devers, Miller, and Jeffers. That should be enough to take us through, right?
Oh, yeah. If you could get,
you think it can happen?
No, I don't. That seems to me a little bit more pie in the sky. I think you'd be thrilled to get, boy, if you could get two of those players. I think Jeffers is the most realistic. I still think Hunter Goodman is the top target, but you don't know if Colorado's going to trade him. Jeffers, I think, is the most realistic option. Devers, I've warmed more
they
up to that.
Get Devers, they don't. It's a salary dump, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing about Devers is you're probably going to get a highly motivated player, especially with the way the Red Sox have been playing. He has a chance to go to the Yankees and sort of show up the Red Sox. I think that is very tantalizing if you're Brian Cashman. And the Giants are out of it. Now, as far as Mason Miller, look, he's under contract for the next, I think, 4 years. He's a free agent in 2030. He's also unbelievable. I don't think San Diego's going to part ways with him. But if he does become available, the Yankees would be fools not to be interested and to offer up a major package trade-wise to get him.
Thank you. Thank you.
You got it. Yeah, there's been a lot of names being bantered around, and this is the rumor mill season. This is the let's throw this name out there, let's throw that name out there. Mike Trout, Devers, Hunter Goodman. I've thrown out Luis Arraez for the Yankees. I've even done my do's and don'ts trade list for the Yankees, and I'll quickly do it for you now. Do's, Luis Arraez, Hunter Goodman, relief pitchers. Don'ts, Mike Trout, Skubal, stay put. Those are my don'ts. And obviously Mason Miller falls under the category of relievers. I'd even say that was there two do's. Probably should have done three do's there. Yeah. It's one of those things where it came out of my mouth and it's too late now. It's too late. I should have went with the three do's, not with the two do's. Once I did the two do's, it just became a situation where it was just too late. You were too far past the exit to turn the car around. You ever been on the highway and you go, oh, that was my exit? You can't just stop and put the thing in reverse and then go out at the exit. Now you have to find a detour or you have to just keep going. Hey, we're changing our destination. That's what we do here on After Hours.
What you want to say, the better analogy, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
I'm sorry you're here. Let's go to Joe in Staten Island. What's up, Joe?
So you're not concerned with Jeffers' wrist injury? I mean, we've seen a number of people in the recent history not be able to hit after this wrist injury, right?
I want Hunter Goodman. That's why I just, when the caller asked me those three names, I just said Jeffers is the most realistic. But Hunter Goodman, to me, should be the top target.
What about Gabriel Moreno? What about Liam Hicks on the Marlins? The Marlins have two starting catches, basically.
Yeah, but
I think those are better.
Would you think the Marlins, with the way they're playing, they would want to upset the apple cart in any way by trading off? And I understand they have two catchers, so they sort of have a surplus, but why would you want to give up somebody that's having a big-time year like Hicks, even if you have another catcher option?
But I don't trust Goodman and his Colorado numbers. I mean, he's a different type of hitter than LeMayu. LeMayu was a contact hitter. That's right. What we got when we got LeMayu here, right? I think his numbers are inflated in Colorado.
I'd have to check his splits.
Yeah, Gabriel Moreno's a good target out of Arizona, and one of the Mullins catches. I honestly think that's way more realistic than Goodman. It's another home run or bust guy that's not going to diversify our lineup at all.
Well, I'm with you on the diversifying of the lineup, and that's why I've put Luis Arraez out there, and that's why I almost paused a little bit on Devers, because he struck out almost 200 times last year. And I know he's a great player, but you're spot on with the diversifying. The Yankees need to diversify their lineup. They need to strike out less. They need to put the ball in play less. I think they're top five in most strikeouts as far as offensive teams go, meaning offensively, and anybody that's ever been in that category has never won a World Series. So it's a place that the Yankees want to find their way out of.
Yeah, there are better options out there. I'll pass on Goodman.
All right, and now I'm trying to look up his splits here to see, Joe, and I appreciate the call, if he is a guy that is only a product of Coors Field. Okay, here we go. Home versus away. No, his numbers are better away. Hunter Goodman this year, his numbers are better on the road than they are at Coors Field. At Coors Field, Hunter Goodman is hitting .223 with 9 home runs and 18 RBIs. On the road, Hunter Goodman is hitting .282 with 18 home runs and 33 RBIs. His OPS is almost 1,000 on the road. So you might be right last year, but this year, Hunter Goodman has been a better player away from Coors Field. Almost 1,000 OPS. Almost batting he's over .280, 18 home of his 31 home runs. How many home runs he got? 27 home runs. 18 of his 27 home runs have been hit away from Coors Field, and 33 RBIs away from Coors Field. So for this year, Hunter Goodman has been a better player away from Colorado. Now, really, to me, the bigger thing is whether or not the Rockies would want to trade him. Look, he's a young player. He's in the prime of his career. The Rockies are rebuilding. But if the Yankees... Because everybody said, oh, well, Mason Miller. Okay, well, the Padres are .500. They might be buyers or just stay putters. And Mason Miller's under contract for a lot of years. So, yeah, he would make a great addition to the Yankees, an unbelievable addition. But what makes you think San Diego's just going to wake up tomorrow and want to trade him? I mean, the same thing could be said about Hunter Goodman, but at least the Rockies are not in it at all. And you could argue, all right, well, if the Yankees put together a trade proposal with a bunch of players that the Rockies deem, hey, we're getting Spencer Jones, we're getting Volpe, we're getting a bunch of players for one player, that might be worth it for us, even though Hunter Goodman is a centerpiece here and somebody we would build around. And ultimately, time will tell if Colorado's interested in dealing him, but if I'm the Yankees, I would absolutely check in on him, and I would also check in on Mason Miller, of course. I don't see Miller going anywhere. I don't. Devers becomes more and more of an interesting topic day by day. But he's great. So I don't want to take anything away from him. I do like what our caller last said, and I have said this a lot about the Yankees, and that is they need... And I said this last year with Eugenio Suarez. I was very adamant that the Yankees should not trade for him, and I was 100% right because he... Number one, he stunk when he got to Seattle. But number two, I looked at him as a player that is very similar to what the Yankees already have, which is a lot of home runs and a lot of strikeouts. And you don't need more of that. And that's why, if I'm the Yankees, I'm not trading for Tarik Skubal. You already have three aces once Fried comes back. And if you can't get to the World Series and ultimately win it with Cam Schlittler, Max Fried, and Gerrit Cole, then what the heck are we doing? Even if you want to use Will Warren as a trade chip, even if you want to move Carlos Rodon or you don't think he's going to come back healthy, or whatever the case may be, I still am not trading for Tarik Skubal. And we don't know if the Tigers are officially waving the white flag. They were playing better baseball until the final weekend when they ran into the Phillies, but the Central in the American League sucks. I don't think that Chicago, by any means, the White Sox are a lock to win it. the division. I don't think Cleveland is a lock to win the division. So I think Detroit, I think the Tigers are as alive as anybody. And they could certainly...
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Take advantage of a weak division. 888-808-1019 is the phone number call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Let's go to, well, is it really Lugie in the Late Night? I'm sorry, I got an autograph mode there. I apologize. I was in Ricky Bobby mode where I'm just signing babies. I wouldn't call this the late night. I would call this more positive Tommy in prime time. I have so many monikers and so many nicknames and so many catchphrases that occasionally I do forget where I am, what I'm doing, and which catchphrase ultimately fits in the conversation or the context of what I'm talking about. So I apologize for that. It is not Lugie in the Late Night. It is Positive Tommy here in prime time. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get into football coming up in just a little bit because John Harbaugh had a bunch to say about Jackson Dart and his role on the team this year, whether he's going to be dual threat, whether the Giants are going to use him like Lamar Jackson. We also got sort of some updates on Scataboo and Neighbors. And with training camp right around the corner, starting in late July, I think this week is perfect, especially with baseball on a hiatus. It is a perfect week to open up the dialogue and the discourse when it comes to both the Giants and the Jets, which we will do coming up in the next segment. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Positive Tommy here in primetime. 826 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
You know who else is a minor leaguer, Paul? Aaron Judge, then. He's a minor leaguer. Bryce Harper's a minor leaguer. Otani's a minor leaguer. What are you talking about?
Lugie, hopefully everybody's having a very pleasant Lugie evening. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call on a Big Lugowski, a five-hour After Hours. I got you till midnight here on The Fan. So John Harbaugh did an interview today, and he had some interesting things to say about Jackson Dart. Let me give you this one quote here, and this was John Harbaugh on how he plans to use Jackson Dart as a runner. Quote, "We can get in the pistol and we can run RPOs. We can run quarterback-driven runs with Jackson Dart. A lot of the stuff that we did in Baltimore with Lamar as well." So basically what John Harbaugh is telling you there, and that's music to my ears, is that the Giants plan on using Jackson Dart like the Ravens used Lamar Jackson, which won him multiple MVPs in Baltimore. And I always felt like the discourse around Jackson Dart last year because there's this idea that he had multiple concussions. He only had one concussion. He was only in the concussion protocol once. This idea that Jackson Dart can't be a runner, they got to protect him, they got to put him in bubble wrap. I'm not about that. I think the excitement, the energy, and what makes Jackson Dart, I think, so special and so enticing as a young quarterback is the fact that he could also use his legs. And it's really where we're at in football. Look, Matthew Stafford is a dying breed. Aaron Rodgers, at this stage of his career, being the pocket passer, is a dying breed. You have to be able to run. You see it with all the great quarterbacks that are in the league. Sam Darnold, okay, fine, but he had an unbelievable defense, great running game, top-level wide receiver, great coaching staff. The stars kind of aligned for Sam Darnold. But when you look at Mahomes, you look at Jackson, you look at Allen, you look at Hurts, you have to be able to run the football as a quarterback. Safely, of course, smartly, if that's even a word. We just made it one. But you have to be smart about it. And I think Jackson Dart will be a lot smarter about it this year because he's under the tutelage of John Harbaugh, an adult in the room, somebody who's there to be a coach, not a friend. And then you have the idea that Jackson Dart, second year, not trying to just do everything and put the weight of the world and the weight of the city and the weight of this franchise on his shoulders because there have been really lean and really dark and really tough times. But when I hear that the Giants are planning on using Jackson Dart like the Ravens used Lamar Jackson, that puts a smile on my face. Because Lamar Jackson, despite his struggles perhaps in the playoffs, has been a very effective regular season quarterback. And I look at Jackson Dart and I think there are similar skill sets to Lamar Jackson. And certainly Jackson Dart can use his legs, and that is a big part of his game, and it's a part of his game that I don't want to take away from his arsenal. It's just not something that I'm interested in, and thankfully John Harbaugh shares that viewpoint. Plus, Harbaugh talked about the power running game and a way to protect Jackson Dart. And the Giants did a lot this offseason. Look, you drafted a lineman in the top 10. You bring in a fullback. You want to establish, especially with Neighbors potentially being out for an extended period of time in this regular season, this upcoming regular season, you are going to want to run the football. You're going to want to protect Jackson Dart. But this power running game with Scat and with Tyrone Tracy, Jackson Dart is a part of it. He is a part of that power running. And when they get down at the goal line, you now have a fullback, you have a power running back in Scataboo, you have Tracy, who in his first 2 years in the Giants, I think has done a lot of good things, and you have Jackson Dart. So whether it's an RPO, whether it's a direct run, whatever the case may be, Jackson Dart and his ability to run is a huge part of this Giant offense. And I think it's going to be a key to their success. And it's something that you can't be scared of, you can't be afraid of. You can't neuter Jackson Dart, so to speak. You can't put the training wheels on Jackson Dart, so to speak. You just have to let him be free. You have to let him do his thing, and you have to trust him and instill in him the safety measures that he needs to take. Like, hey, listen, in this situation, slide. In that situation, get out of bounds. In that situation, protect yourself, because we need you for the long game. But as far as design runs, as far as using his legs, as far as creating the run-pass option where defenses are on their heels, the Giants have to do that with this quarterback. That's a big part of his game. You take that away from him, and Jackson Dart is not the same quarterback. And through years and through experience, Jackson Dart will get more wise and smarter or wiser about the way he needs to go about sliding, getting out of bounds, and protecting, especially his head, when it comes to when he tucks the ball and runs. But I was very happy to hear that John Harbaugh is on my side, and I think a lot of Giant fans' side, when it comes to Jackson Dart and using him in these RPOs, using him like you would Lamar Jackson, and having that threat of the run to keep defenses on their heels, while also protecting him because you invested a top 10 pick on an offensive lineman instead of drafting Caleb Downs, which I wanted. I'll be the first to admit, I wanted Caleb Downs on this team. It made me even more angry that he went to the Cowboys and the Cowboys drafted him, because I think Caleb Downs is going to be a very special player in this league. But I can't argue with drafting an offensive lineman in the top 10. It's a lunch pail, hard hat, championship winning move to build up the trenches and to protect your biggest and brightest commodity, which is Jackson Dart. And then with the addition of a fullback and the power running game and some I formation, which I love, these are all things to create an atmosphere and an environment for Jackson Dart to not only succeed, but also to thrive in. And I fully expect the Giants to do that this year. I have giant expectations. I look at three teams last year in the Patriots, in the Bears, and the Jaguars. All three of those teams had young quarterbacks, new head coaches. The Patriots went to the Super Bowl. The Bears went to the divisional round, and the Jags made it to the playoffs. The Giants, to me, fit the same moniker of those three teams, the same bill of those three teams. And when I hire John Harbaugh, and when I'm the Giants, or as a Giant fan, you bring in John Harbaugh, you were able to corral the big fish. You got the guy that everybody that was had a head coaching vacancy wanted. That comes with giant expectations. And I want to see a playoff appearance this season, and also whether it's 8, 9, 10 wins, whatever the case may be, whatever it takes to get the Giants into the playoffs. And anything short of that, in my mind, would be a massive disappointment. I don't look at it as a rebuilding year. I don't look at 26 as a year where We're rebuilding. If we bump up two more wins than we had last year, it would be a success. That's not where I'm at. I look at last year as a team that was leadershipless as far as the coaching staff. They were rudderless ship. How many games did they blow defensively? How many games did they blow leads in? How many games did they lose because of their coaching staff, the Giants? Now I bring in John Harbaugh, a guy that comes with a big-time resume, a huge track record, a guy with a over 600 winning percentage. Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl. He's going to build the culture. And that's where I think the Giants will thrive under his tutelage. So I don't view this year as a rebuilding year or a year where it's, well, we'll see what ends up ultimately happening. I want to see wins, and I want to see the Giants make the playoffs. That's where my expectations are at. Let's head out to Point Pleasant. Stu joins us. What's up, Stu?
Loogie, my man. How you doing, my dude?
Great.
You know, I held on for you, Tommy, you know, and I'll tell you why, man. You're the best. That's first of all. Second of all, when you told me, you know, this the smell in the air of September, you know what it is, Tommy? September 13th, Giants.
It's football.
And Dallas Cowboys. Come on, baby.
Tailgate.
You know, so, you know, I held on to talk to you a little bit about, you know, the record and stuff. And, you know, what is there, 17 games now, right?
Yep.
So, you know, I was thinking, you know, 10-7.
Same.
What do you think?
No, I'm on. We're sharing a brain there. That's where I'm thinking because of the quarterback, the coach, a roster that I think is getting better and better. Look, this defense, they've used enough picks in the top 10. It should be where it needs to be, which is elite. I see the NFL as a type of league where you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse as long as you have that coach, as long as you have that quarterback. We saw it with the Pats, we saw it with the Jags, we saw it with the Bears, and I believe now we will see it with the Giants. Something, in my opinion, would have to go really wrong for the Giants not to meet those expectations. We're talking injuries or whatever you could come up with that derailed the season, but I fully expect this to be a big-time year for the Giants.
Yeah, me too, man. Hey, Tommy, and one more thing, man, I want you to help me out with. You know, I live down the Jersey Shore, Point Pleasant Beach,
beautiful.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what do I do? So Sunday's this thing. I'm not going to mention the clubs because I don't think I can say the name on the air. But anyway, you know, do I wear the 44 no sleeves or do I go with something with a dart with no sleeves? Which one do you wear, Tommy? Come on, help me.
Wow. All right, well, first of all, your head's in the right place. Sun's out, guns out, 80s for the ladies. Let them watch. So you're already ahead of the game. I would go with Jackson Dart. Like, make sure, what was it, a jersey or was a shirt with Jackson Dart on it? Make sure Jackson Dart's face on there because girls are going to come up to you because chicks dig Jackson Dart. So it's already a conversation starter. That's the direction I would go. But you can't really go wrong. You can't go wrong with the Jersey Shore. You can't go wrong with a Sunday fun day. And if you got the pipes, I don't. Look, I don't have big arms. But even me, I'll rock a tank when it's appropriate. Love me some Jersey Shore, by the way. I haven't been able to get down there this summer. I've done some things, but I haven't been able to get down to the Jersey Shore. So hopefully I can get down there before the summer is up and we get to football season and that smell of the fall, which he's right. It's that football. It's autumn. It's the leaves changing. As much as I love summer, and summer has its smells too that I love, I love me some football. I love me some fall, and I love me some fall smells. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach here on After Hours. What's up, Mario?
Luke, how you doing?
Great. How you doing?
Great show as always.
Thank you.
Can I pivot to the Knicks? I was going to do Giants, but here's something. You know, the byproduct of what happened here is very interesting, right? Now you got, you know, veterans that might want to win a championship that might want to take the minimum to play with the Knicks because they think they're that close.
Yep.
You know, some of them, you might get them. Before, 4 years ago, we were a laughing stock. Nobody would never want to come here for nothing. That's number one.
And that's when you get on a roll like the Knicks got on and you build this winning culture and you ultimately end up winning a championship, you create an environment where guys are going to want to join that team and they're going to want to get a piece of that and they're going to want to chase their ring. So you're right. Now, it's not going to be core players because their core is set, but it's guys on veteran minimum contracts that certainly would be more into joining the Knicks this year than they would have been, you know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. No, but the point is you might get a really, really good player who's like 35 and he's getting ready to retire in a year who could get $20 million somewhere else and might say, I already made $150 million. I want to win a championship. Yeah. They'll come to New York for $3 million.
And they might not be the same player they used to be. Yeah, they might not be the same player they used to be.
A lot better than $3 million.
Right, and they're still very valuable, and they have that experience, and they have that talent that made them a really good player in the league.
Look, here's the second thing really quick that's going to happen. Brunson's going to get more respect now with the refs. He's going to get a lot of more foul calls.
I could definitely see that.
And that'll be great. That'll really help us. Nice talking to you. Thanks for taking my call,
buddy. Yeah, you got it, Mario. Yeah, I totally see that with Jalen Brunson. By the way, Jalen Brunson will be at Madison Square Garden on Saturday, Saturday night's main event. He has accepted the invitation from the tribal chief, Roman Reigns. If you're not familiar with wrestling, Roman Reigns is one of the biggest stars, if not the biggest stars, in WWE. Jalen Brunson's a huge fan of Roman Reigns. By all accounts, Roman Reigns is a huge fan of Jalen Brunson. Reigns invited Jalen Brunson to the event on Saturday at Madison Square Garden at night. And this is not the first time that Jalen Brunson will appear on WWE television. If you remember, he did an angle, which is sort of a segment with Tyrese Halliburton, with Logan Paul, and with LA Knight that took place a couple summers ago. And there was a speculation that Jalen Brunson got hurt in the angle, which I had to remind wrestling and non-wrestling fans that it's wrestling, and when you are in a wrestling ring, you act like you're hurt, but you're not hurt. It's part of what you're watching. If they don't sell what it's called, then you're watching people just sort of dance around. So you got to kind of put a little bit of that pizzazz into it, which I think Jalen Brunson did because he's a huge wrestling fan. So he will be at Madison Square Garden for Saturday night's main event this Saturday.
Acknowledge me!
Which he will, and I'm sure Roman will acknowledge Jalen Brunson. That'll be a cool moment. It's Jalen's first time back at the Mecca since winning a championship also. So he's going to get a King's welcome. That's for certain. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's going on, Louie? How are you?
What's happening?
Good evening. Good evening.
What's happening?
So, yeah, I want to talk Giants and Jets. No more on the Giants than the Jets, because I'll just keep it simple with the Jets. You know, with a schedule of 14 potential playoff contenders and about 10 or 12 of them might legitimately have a chance to win the Super Bowl, and a talent, and from a talent standpoint, the Jets are mostly compiled of first and second year players, and the schedule is more veteran and star driven. It'd be a miracle if we win it would be a miracle if we win three or four games. I'm expecting 2-15.
Yeah, I'm
and
stunned.
I'm stunned. Totally tank topping for Arch.
Yeah, I'm stunned that the line or the season total for the Jets is 5.5. I think they go under that. I just don't see them winning six games. I would guess the reason that's the line is because there are, I guess, the odds makers are thinking Geno Smith a couple years removed from a 4,000-yard season as far as passing numbers. But I just think the Jets are bad until they're not. And what's best for them is to lose a lot of games and ultimately get the number one overall pick, which then they would have the pick of the litter. And like you just said there, Moose, I know the general consensus is that Arch Manning is not coming to the Jets. I'm going to push back on that. I think if you're Arch Manning, you're coming in with that last name and you're going to have to separate yourselves from your very famous uncles. What better way than to carve your own path if you're Arch Manning and to be the new Manning, and that is to win a championship with the Jets? That to me would separate himself from Peyton and Eli.
Like I told you, my alternative name for tanking was staging the comeback as an organization.
Yeah.
For the Jets. But for the Giants, I give them a 75% chance, meaning three times out of four, if you were to flip a coin, call heads or tails, you'd be right. A 10-8 season is three things happen. The defense improves.
Yep.
The wide receivers get yak yardage, and whatever offensive scheme they get, RPO-driven,
right,
play-action-driven, heavy run action,
yep,
and then over the top or West Coast, whatever they want to do,
mm-hmm,
with John Harbaugh. Also, just plain old, you know, like not blowing games, because
that was a big problem last year. That was a huge problem. Blowing games.
They have an easier. Let me just make my point, and then I'll let you rebut if it's even a rebuttal at this point, because you're on planes with me in terms of the Giants are basically almost there. It's almost like they want to be a dominant team, but they can't get out of their own ways since Coughlin left. And now you have a no-nonsense guy running the show. So if everybody's accountable, success is almost inevitable.
Yeah, I don't know about the first part. I just think they made wrong hires. They tried to go the coordinator route, and it did not work outside of 1 year with McAdoo, 1 year with Dable. That's why hiring Harbaugh was so imperative. It was so paramount because he is a CEO, adult in the room. He's a head coach with a ton of success, ton of road playoff victories. In fact, the most of all time. He's won a Super Bowl. Harbaugh has won a ton of regular season games, division titles. So he knows what he's doing. He knows how to build the team. He knows how to build culture. He knows how to win football games. And that's something with the Giants have kind of lost their way ever since Tom Coughlin, and that is how to win football games. We talked about it. All the blown leads last year. It is very difficult to win games in the NFL.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Just is. And the Giants have lost their way when it comes to playing four quarters and winning games. And I think with the addition of Harbaugh and then obviously the ascension of Jackson Dart, and this defense should be a hell of a lot better than it's been, even with the departure of Dexter Lawrence. You draft Arvell Reese. You sign Chase Edmonds. You have Abdul Carter, which should be, I would think, a much better Abdul Carter this year. You certainly hope so. Burns, we know. Kayvon, there's enough talent on this defense for them to wreck games, which they haven't been able to do with this core that they have now. And I certainly would think with a new coaching staff, sort of a new lease on life, that they would do so in 26. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll continue to take your calls on the Giants, on the Jets. I opened the show with the Mets. This is a safe place if you want to talk about presently, what's going on with the team, even what has happened with the team, what might happen with the team. You know I'm always here for you in a positive way, but even if you want to bring the negativity, we can have civil conversation. I think that's the word. Unless you piss me off, then we will have a non-civil conversation. But either way, it's going to be fun radio. So that's on the menu as well. Yankee trade deadline. We're monitoring the All-Star game. The American League is up 3-0. Bellinger, Ben Rice. It's like we're watching a Yankee game. Bellinger and Ben Rice with RBI hits in the first inning and is now bottom one AL up. What else is new? The American League is beating the National League. 8-8, the sky is blue. Actually, it's white, but I think it's technically blue the way we see it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Tommy Lugauer. Positive Tommy here in primetime. 8:51 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Rosie now taking over. The glue of WFAN.
888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's my first show with Rosenberg in a while. We're going to put him on trial later on, including reading some of the text messages that he sent me yesterday in a very snarky manner because he's apparently too busy working on other shows to actually provide the services that I need for my show here, the show that he actually produces. So we're going to read those text messages that he had for me. This is what I mean. He is a cross to bear not only as a friend, but also as, well, you know, I'm his boss. I mean, basically, he's my employee, and I need certain
Can
things.
Can I go for you for a raise?
You want a raise for me?
You said you're my boss.
Yeah, I'm your boss, but I don't pay you. That's the company.
That's the insinuation when you say you're someone's boss is that you control their salary.
No, I control what you do here. I tell you what to do. That's the difference. Now I can, at the end of the year, take care of you, which I plan on doing with you and Fleegs and Connor.
Yeah, we're going to Tampa.
Well, that's assuming that you and Connor actually show up for work at some point this summer. I know you had an off-air conversation with Martell. It sounds like, from the sounds of it, it doesn't seem like I'm going to see either you or Connor in August. But
We'll see you in football season, buddy.
See you in September. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. I say that only because Rosenberg and Connor add a lot to the show. I'm on my own, amazing, but those two add a lot to the show, so I want them working on the show. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I also want to see them work during the day, so I'm torn on that. But ultimately, I want to, I'll be selfish, whatever, but I know when I was in their chair, I want to be slid down, so I don't blame them for doing it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mike is in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Tommy. Great show.
Hey.
So I want to talk about the Mets for next year.
Uh-huh.
And listen, it looks like they have their outfield set.
Yep.
Assuming Lindor will be here, and their catchers are going to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you add a defensive first baseman and third baseman, and you put Bo Bichette at the DH, and you add two solid starting pitchers, not great, just solid.
Okay.
I think they can get back to 500 or a little better fairly quickly. Then that's not a lot of money spent, but they have to do it wisely and get a good manager to lead the whole team.
Yeah, Alex Cora. To me, I don't know where you're at with the manager, but to me, Alex Cora should be the number one priority of the offseason.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, what do you think about that? Like, just shoring up some of the holes like that, and then they should play pretty clean baseball if they do that.
Yeah, I'm with you on a lot of things you said there. The outfield is certainly set with Soto, with Ewing, and with Benj. I think the catcher situation will probably return as what it is we see now. I'm with you. I want to see Bo Bichette opt back in. I think he's going to have a really good second half, and I think he's going to have an excellent second year with the Mets if he chooses to stay. So I like the idea of Bichette coming back. I don't know if your brain was going towards a Clay Holmes, but for me, if you extend Clay Holmes, that would certainly fit the category of bringing a pitcher back to go along with the young pitchers that they have. I'm going all in on Skubal, though. For me, Cora, Skubal are my two all-in if I'm the Mets. Hire Cora and sign Skubal. I think those would be massive additions for this team, and then you can go from there when it comes to the rest of the off-season. 888-808-1019. Is the phone number to call. They're going to the second inning. American League up 3-0. Ben Rice and Bellinger with RBIs in the top of the first. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. Really an open sort of forum tonight. Giants, Jets, Mets, Yankees, trade deadline. There's so many topics we can get into. We got a lot of time to do it. We might even mix in a little bit of an Ask Tommy Anything. So if you have a question for me, and Ask Tommy Anything, doesn't have to be sports. It could be about my career. It could be about the radio station. It could be about music. It could be about movies. It could be about whatever it is that you wanted to ask me but didn't have the opportunity to ask me, because normally we just take sports calls. But because it's All-Star break, and this was a segment we did to start the year off. We did it for a few months, but because of Yankee games and the Knick playoff run and just not having the time to do it, we sort of got away from this segment, and I know a lot of you loved it. We're probably not going to do a full 20 minutes, hour on it tonight. We'll probably save that for tomorrow, but if you want to mix them in throughout the night as we march towards midnight, that's totally cool with me. You just hit me up at 888-808-1019. It is after hours. It is Lugie in the late night. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.